I loved watching people as they walked in. They just looked around. Like it really mattered if they found the right chair or not. It really doesn't matter. You've got a chair here. And, you know, for those of you that are maybe visiting with us today, the setup is a little bit different. We've got a big party right after the church, after the service today. So we've set it up in advance. And if you did not register for that party and you want to, we would love to have you. We have got enough for you. Guest, we love you. Thanks for being here today. If you are a guest, you may have received a welcome packet on your way in. There's a card inside of that. We'd love for you to fill that out at some point and just place it into the drop boxes as you leave. You might want to text your name. If you don't want to fill out the card, you can text your name to this number that's on the screen. I think it's going to be up there. If not, it'll be up there. We'll tell you that later, but it will. You can just text your name there. We just love to know that you're here. Thank you so much for being with us today. And even if you're regular here and you didn't register and plan to stay for lunch, please do. It would bless us if you did. There's plenty of food. We're going to have a great time. And we'd love for you to be involved in that. You know, students, students, sixth grade and up, if you're here today, of course, if you're here today, I say that, I don't mean to say it, but I say it every time. If you're sixth grade and up, we've got a service especially for you, a teaching that is geared exactly for where you are in life. You can be dismissed now. Our leaders are going, so just go. And maybe you're visiting for the first time and you're not so sure if you want to try it, try it. I believe you'll enjoy it. I believe your student will enjoy it. It's a great time for them to gather. You know, we have been talking, we started last week talking about unexpected blessings. And each of us were challenged to kind of watch out for them as we go along in life. I wonder how many of you were more aware of unexpected blessings this past week. Anybody? I was. I sure was. Last week we specifically talked about the fact that God uses unexpected people to provide unexpected blessings to his people. Just out of nowhere. It's been quite a week. Let me share a few of them with you. Last Sunday afternoon or evening, I got a call from a 14-year-old boy who had watched the service with his grandmother. He was so excited that he just couldn't wait to tell me how God had used somebody unexpected in his life for blessing. He went to a restaurant after the broadcast for lunch, and he noticed somebody spilled a whole bunch of water on a table next to him. Well, he just decided to get up with a bunch of napkins and clean it, and he went back to his seat. Didn't think anything about it. Unbeknownst to him, a man nearby was watching him clean up that mess. And he came up to him and commended him for his willingness to clean up someone else's mess. And he handed him $10. Not only was this $10 bill an unexpected blessing, and it was huge, God used an unexpected person to bring that blessing. Exactly. Monday afternoon, one of our members stopped by the office and handed me $500 to help with the cost of today's meal. Again, an unexpected blessing from an unexpected person. And later in the day on Monday, we received a check from a North Star family paying their entire tithes for 2005. Now that's how you pay it forward, right? Again, an unexpected blessing from an unexpected person. And Tuesday, Susan called me, excited to report this story. She told me that she had appointments most of the day and was going to be away all day. And we were expecting four packages. Now, I was hoping they were all for me and they wouldn't be stolen or any of that stuff. But she was worried about them being delivered with no one there. You know, that happens from time to time. Well, lo and behold, all four arrived earlier than expected, all before she left for the day. Again, an unexpected blessing and through an unexpected person. I bet you've got stories like that too. Recount them, document them, and share them with others. It'll build your faith, but it'll also build theirs as well. If you remember, last week we saw clearly that God uses unexpected people. As we recounted the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth and of Joseph and Mary and John the Baptist. Well, today is part two. And it's simply this: God uses unexpected situations. As we continue in our celebration of the birth of Jesus, we look at the shepherds. Luke 2, starting in verse 8, there were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They set night watches over their sheep. And suddenly God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for: a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." And as the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running and found Mary and Joseph and told everyone and the baby lying in a manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God, for everything they had heard and seen turned out exactly how they had been told. To say that these shepherds found themselves in unexpected circumstances or situation is the understatement of the century. No one could have predicted this. There seemed to be a common theme when angels appear, if you've ever noticed that. People seem to be afraid. Happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth, happened to Joseph and Mary, and also these shepherds. First instinct, they were afraid. But an angel by themselves, they're so majestic, so powerful, so special, not so commonplace, but a company of heavenly host appearing, that must have been quite an earth-shattering event. I love the fact that the first thing the angel did is to calm any fears. There's peace in Jesus. In other words, he wanted to make sure they knew that they had nothing to worry about. I want you to think about what these shepherds might have experienced that night in the midst of the mundane, in the midst of all the boredom, in the midst of the darkness of the night and the still of the night, and maybe even in the midst of some tomfoolery. You never know what was going on. Who knows what was happening that quiet night? Suddenly, God's representatives appeared and put on a heavenly concert. These shepherds were chosen to experience this announcement. I would actually say they were privileged to experience this awesome event. And I would imagine that shepherds experience very few exciting experiences, especially not exciting good experiences. Maybe the occasional wild beast attacking a sheep, or maybe an occasional wandering off of a sheep, or maybe even the injury of a sheep, or maybe a rift between the sheep or the shepherds. You know, those kinds of things they would expect, but not like this. But nothing like this had ever happened to them before. Can you imagine their reports to all their shepherd friends? I think they became legends in the shepherding world. What do you think? Here's what we know. Shepherds were kind of a bottom rung job. It's not a job that required a whole lot of skill. It's not a job that required a whole lot of know-how. It's not a job that many people would aspire to get. In fact, many times, young boys were used in that position. But to quote an Ogeico commercial, shepherding, even a caveman could do it. Why is that even important to bring up? Well, even these that society might have considered lowly, God used them to usher in and herald the arrival of the Son of God. What a privilege. But what happened after the announcement is even more important. This unexpected situation propelled them out of their normal routines, out of their normal thinking, out of their normal actions. Said, let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. How many times have we experienced something unexpected from God and then gone on about our business as if nothing really has happened? How many times has the enemy been successful in us watering down an unexpected situation instead of valuing it or maybe even digging into it? The shepherds were impacted by the show, yes. But they were even more impacted by actually seeing Jesus. It impacted them so very much that they told everybody they met about this reality. They made room for this new event. And it changed their lives, but it didn't just change them. It changed other people as well. You know, that reminds me of an experience of the woman at the well. We talked about this several months ago, but it bears repeating out of John 4. Jesus came to Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? His disciples had gone on to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman was taken back and asked, how come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? See, Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to a Samaritan. But Jesus answered, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink. And I would give you fresh living water. The woman said, sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with. And this well is deep. So how are you going to get to this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug the well and drank from it? He and his sons' livestock, and he passed it down to us. And Jesus says, anyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks this water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. The woman said, sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty again, and you won't ever have to come back to this well, and never have to come back to this well again. Here's where we got real serious around the well. He said, go call your husband and then come back. She said, I have no husband, she said. That's nicely put, I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough. Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worship God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father, neither here at this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called you will not matter, and where you go to worship won't matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their own very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. The woman says, I don't know how to do that. But I do know that the Messiah is coming, and when He arrives, we'll get the whole story. I am He, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Then, just then, His disciples came back, and they were shocked. They couldn't believe He was talking to that kind of woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. The woman took the hint and left. In her confusion, she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told people, come and see a man who knew all the things that I did, who knows me inside out. Do you think this could be the Messiah? And they went out to see for themselves. And further down in that chapter, picking up in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that village committed themselves to him because of the woman's witness. He knew all the things, about all the things I did. He knows me inside and out. They asked him to stay on, so Jesus stayed 2 days, and a lot more people entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say. They said to the woman, "We're no longer taking this on your say-so. We've heard it for ourselves and know it for sure. He's the Savior of the world." Now here's the takeaway from that. When God brings unexpected situations into your life, we have a responsibility to use them to build the kingdom of God and to make Jesus known. It's just that simple. Those unexpected circumstances and situations are not just for you. So years ago, there was a slogan that was used to enlighten the plight that all races were not treated equally in regard to opportunities for a good education. Maybe you remember the slogan, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." Well, look at today's topic this way. An unexpected situation from God is a terrible thing to waste. What if those shepherds had kept their unexpected situation to themselves? Remember, this is what they said. The shepherds returned from seeing Jesus and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. They told everybody they met what the angels had said about this child, and all who heard the shepherds were impressed. What if the Samaritan woman had kept her unexpected situation to herself? Many of the Samaritans from that village committed themselves to him, meaning Jesus, because of this woman's witness. "He knew all about the things I did," she said. "He knows me inside out." What if the 14-year-old boy that called me had kept his unexpected situation to himself? If he took time to call me, I think you'd be mistaken if you think I'm the only one he told. What if I had kept that $500 gift toward today's meal to myself? What if I had kept receiving the 2025 yearly tithes that came in all at once to myself? What if Susan had kept the 4-package miracle delivery to herself? You see, when we brag on God, I want you to listen to this. When we brag on God and what he's done, God gets glory. When God gets glory, people's lives are changed. When people's lives are changed, there's a chain reaction and others can be changed. And when others are changed, heaven gets more populated. All of that comes if we take advantage and recognize that this unexpected situation God can use for me, but he can use to build the kingdom. And that's far more important than us getting a few packages stolen off our front porch. It's far more important to understand that God will orchestrate things and it'll affect other people. 2 Peter 3:9, God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. Some versions say he doesn't want none to perish. He has given everyone space and time to change. What if your unexpected situation is an avenue for someone to see who God is? What if you sharing your story about a God-given, unexpected situation brought someone to Jesus? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Luke 15:7 says, "There is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away." That one matters. What if your unexpected situation helps others see, helps just one other person see the reality of who God is. The challenge is this season, this Christmas season, to pay attention, because God wants to use your unexpected circumstances, your unexpected situations, for His glory. What you're going through is not an accident. What you're facing is not an accident, even if it surprised you. How can we get some traction and use what we're going through for kingdom good? See, as a child of the King, we have to be thinking about kingdom good. We can't be just a bunch of navel gazers. We have to think beyond. Because what if we had not been drawn to the things of God? Where would we be? What if the shepherds just kept that to themselves? What if the woman at the well just went on? But you can have a direct line of seeing what God does when people are surprised with what He's doing. The facts are, God uses unexpected people. He just does. He will use somebody. They might bring you a $10 bill. They might come and deliver your packages early. They might just take you by surprise with whatever. And then He'll use those unexpected situations. If you will be that conduit, if you will allow Him to move through you, to live through you, nothing in your life is wasted. The difficulties that you have, on many cases, we thank God for them, because it throws us into an awareness that we need God. And unless we never need Him, if we never get to that place of needing God, you're just not going to need Him. What if that unexpected circumstance and situation that's in your life right now, what if you didn't despise it? What if you didn't hate it? And I'm not saying that it's an easy situation, but I just know that God can redeem anything. He can take the worst possible thing and turn it around. For your good, yes. But please don't think it's just for you. As a child of the King, we are to be a conduit of His glory, of His blessings, of His love, of His forgiveness, of His grace. Everything that God gives us is for us to pass it on. What if this Christmas season we begin to not place any limits on anybody that God can use? That we would not even be surprised when God uses unexpected people in our life. We would not be surprised that He would use an unexpected situation for His glory. This young boy that called me, I had him on speakerphone, and Susan heard him too, and we just rejoiced at hearing how he saw the hand of God. And he didn't set out for it. So many times we are just looking for how can we earn this blessing, and how can we put this in the right order so that we get this blessing. Listen, if you just do what God tells you to do, there are going to be unexpected situations that will bring unexpected blessings. And it's likely to be through an unexpected person. We've all done it. We've looked at that person and said, well, there's nothing good can come from them. That they got nothing to offer. Listen, I had nothing to offer before Jesus took a hold of me. And if I have anything to offer now, it's only because of Him. And I think you can say the same thing. That you were lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. You were lame, but now you walk. You were mute, but now you speak. See, God can take anything that's wrong with you and turn it around. But you got to make room. You got to make room for Him. If you go through life thinking, well, this incident just disrupted my day and we can't shepherd the sheep like we're supposed to be doing, this thing just caused all kind of chaos, then everything ends right there. normalcy just picks back up. But what if we go and find Jesus in our situation? What if we go and find Jesus? And knowing that when we find Him, guess what? Whatever He's going to do in me, it doesn't die with me. It is not just about me. In fact, it's not about me at all. And if you think you're a big deal, you're not. Jesus is the big deal. And He chooses to use us. And He wants to use us. In fact, that's why He left the earth, to leave this for us to do. And if you're confused about what to do, just look at what Jesus did. He said that He wants you to do that. Once we become a child of the King, that we accept Jesus into our hearts, guess what? We're on this promotion track to become like Jesus. And the moment we want to own the stuff, we're going to cause things to just stalemate. But if you can just see yourself passing it on, the grace God showed me today, I'm going to pass it on. But the enemy will say, but they don't deserve it. And then God will say, but you didn't either. The strength that God gave you to go through this horrible situation, pass it on. Tell people that came from God. I couldn't have done that in my own. There's no way I could do that in my own. But God. And God gets glory, and the end result is heaven gets populated. Changed people will change people, and we're not limited to our own natural stuff. That's the beauty, is that we have at our access everything that God has. And why He's trusting us with it, I just don't know. But He loves us. And there's an everlasting love, a love that never ends, a love that will not fail, a love that will always be there. And He wants you to pass it on. But I want you to remember that an unexpected situation from God is a terrible thing to waste. What God has given us, to hold it to ourselves, is a shame. To carry it out, to pass it on, to serve the Word of God to others, it becomes exponentially growing. Compounded interest in the kingdom. All of a sudden, that one stupid little situation, God took it, and there's someone in heaven because of it. Every day we have that opportunity, every day, to embrace what happens. We embrace it, but we find Jesus in it. And when we find Jesus, everything changes. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father.